8. Mark 28 from verse 18. Hallelujah. See, as we get, I'm going to encourage our hearts concerning a few things. See, as regards your faith in Christ, there are things you ought to know. Hallelujah. Always regard yourself. Hope you're hearing me. As a learner all the time. Hope you're hearing me. Always see yourself that way. Never get too big in your eyes. Spiritual growth is not an exciting. Amen. When things doesn't begin to excite you, you are growing. Spiritual growth is in boredom. Hope you're hearing me. You mustn't have things excited. If children is a child that wants to get excited all the time, once you become an adult, you discover that you don't get excited before you get to get things done. Okay, you hear me? Amen. So I'm telling you this evening, I want to encourage you. Okay, you hear me? When boredom sets in, when you look at it, it's just the same routine. See, Christianity is the same routine. Amen. It's the same routine for the rest of your life. Glory to God. So, coming to meeting today, you know, I was set by the Holy Ghost to encourage your heart and the hearts of those who will listen to me after now. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot have this as excitement all the time, because you're going to keep reading the same Bible. Amen. You're going to keep praying the same way. You're still going to keep doing evangelism. You're still going to keep doing the same thing. So you're going to make up your mind, I'm going to be doing it for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Hold on, hear me. For the rest of my life. There's nothing like I serve God enough. Is the devil that brings that kind of thought. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Okay. Matthew 28, verses 18. Matthew 28, verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," that is the word exousia, power, "has been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, what? I am with you always." Watch that word, "I am," even to the end of this. "I am" is a watchword. When you use the word "I am," is a word in the Greek, egoema, is a word used in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses asked the Lord and said, "What will I tell them is your name?" Exodus 3, verse 12. I mean, verse 13 to 14. He says, "What will I tell them is your name?" And Moses said, and God said to Moses, "Tell them, I am that I am." So, God's name is "I am that I am." That's God's name, "I am." Amen? So, in Israel, the word "I am," ego am I, is not a verb, as you think. It's actually a proper name. Okay, you hear me? It's a proper name. So God says to Moses, "I am have sent thee." So when Jesus says, "I am is with you," he's not just saying that I'm going to be going with you. It implies that also. But when he says, "I am with you always," is Jesus making acclamation, or Jesus stating a fact that he is the God of the Old Testament book. Is the God of Israel. Amen. So Jesus isn't using it. No, he said he's the God of Israel. Hallelujah. What are you hearing me? That's Jesus, what Jesus is saying. Look at John 9. John 9 quickly. Rush quickly to John 9. I'm going to see something now. So John 9. Look at verse 35. Jesus said that they casted him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, "Does that believe on the Son of God?" Jesus, and another man said, who is the Lord that I may believe on him?" He said, "Who is the Lord?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and he that talketh with thee." Did you see that? So when Jesus said, I am, he's saying, I am the God of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word I am is Jesus's, or the word I am, Jesus is the word I am, is a fact that points to him as the God of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. And amen. Look at the chapter before then, John chapter 8. They asked him, John chapter 8, the chapter before. And Jesus was had a conversation with the Pharisees. The reason was 65. He says, I mean verse 66, he said, Jesus said to them, say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Did you see that? He saw it and was glad. And he said, and the Jews said to him, are thou yet 50? And after that, I've seen Abraham. Did you see that? They said, are you up to 50 years? How would you say you have seen Abraham? But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He said, before now, he told them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They thought he was talking about age. No. Did you see that? He now said, look at verse 67. He now said, before Abraham was, I am. What did they do? They carried stones. Why did they pick up stones? Because he said he's older than Abraham. No. They understood why they pick up stones. Amen. If you read it in your word and in your day, you think, because he said, they were arguing about age, it was not age. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's the same word, ego am I. You didn't know that? So what Jesus is saying is that I am the God of Abraham. They knew that. Amen. They knew that too. For you don't use the word I am. That word I am is reserved for God. So Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, and they picked up stones. They said, what are you trying to say? That you are Abraham's God. Did you know that? So Jesus is the God of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's make progress here. We're going to explore that as we continue in our teaching. Is it God of the Old Testament? So when he says, I am with you, it's something you have to see. He's saying God is with you. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:20 said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Meaning God is working with the believer. Amen. God is with the believer. Look at Mark 16. He says to them, go into all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this man shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking what? With them. Did that? Who was walking with them? God was walking with them. Who was walking with them? Is it Jesus walking with them? Is it the same thing with Matthew 28? I am with you always. It is that I'm going to be with you for a while. I'm with you always. Amen. So that means, when Jesus said, I'm with you always, is a fact for you to see that he is the Savior. Amen. He is the Savior. In their world, listen, everybody look up now. In their time, if you call someone a Savior, one who delivers, you will find that person among the people he has delivered. Amen. That is the work of a Savior. In their world, it's called a soteria. So, look at Matthew 1. Soteria. Matthew 1, quickly. I need you to follow me now. Verse 21. This is the angel and Joseph. He says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that means he's going to be a Savior, a deliverer. When he says he has saved, meaning he's a deliverer. Now the one who delivers will be found among those whom he delivers. Amen. So when Jesus says, I am with you, is that major fact of the gospel. Amen. That says Jesus is with the believer always. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus never leaves the believer. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means when you sing song like, he's coming back again, my God is coming back again. He went away and promised that. We went away to where? Where did he go to? Where did he go to? He says, I am with you always. Did he do that? He says, I am with you always. So where did he go to? See, he went to heaven. No. Amen? Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Heaven is, when he says he went to heaven, he was referring to he's going to be found in the believer. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So we just read Jesus with this word saying what? I am with you always. What are you following me? I am with you always. So you're going to believe God, right? You're going to believe Jesus that he says he's with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that? I will never leave you. John, let's watch Jesus again. Let's watch all that all together. Look at John. John chapter 16. John 16. Open up for you with me. Hallelujah. John 16. John 14. John 14 verse 18. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is Jesus saying he will come to you when? In the resurrection. He will come again to you. Hallelujah. Amen. In Hebrews 13, when I ask you to read, watch quickly to Hebrews 13. It's good you see all this. Hallelujah. Verse 5. He said, let the conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Did you see that? That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. So this is very vital. Remember what we are discussing on? We are discussing on contending for the faith. Hallelujah. Contending for the faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus never leaves us. Say, Jesus never leaves me. Say, Jesus is with me always. Say, Jesus is with me always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, it's always the opposite that we usually would explain believers' authority, right? Okay. We'll get back. We'll continue from where we stopped some years back. Heaven and earth. So you begin to understand the heaven. The Bible says heaven. You begin to understand it well. Well, I've laid a foundation, but we'll take it up during CRC this year. Hallelujah. Amen. So when he says to them, listen, when Jesus says to them, I'm with you always. You know, he said something before then. He said, teaching them. Teaching them. Now, that is Matthew 28:20. He said, teaching them. Who would they be teaching? Fellow believers. He said, teaching them. When he says teaching them, your mind should go back to Luke chapter 24. Jesus just finished teaching them and he told them teaching men. Luke 24. Look at verses 27. Away from verse 25. He saw the two guys on their way to Emmaus. He told them, all fools and slob have to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said 26, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. He now says verse 27. Luke now summarize what Jesus did to them. He says, beginning at Moses, Luke 24:27, and all the prophets. So how did Jesus teach? Beginning from Moses, which is Genesis, right? Jesus taught from Genesis. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets down to Malachi, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. What was Jesus just did? Now, the way Jesus taught them, Luke said he's called, he expounded. Now, the word expound is a word for interpreting. So, Jesus interpreted scriptures. We're going to look at that. Why must we interpret scriptures? Very fine. Hope you know why we must interpret scriptures. One, interpretation of scriptures. Okay, we're going to come there. Just hold on that. So, Jesus, what Luke is saying is that Jesus interpreted scriptures. Now, in teaching them, in verse 44, look at 44, verse 44. He now says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which is written in the law of Moses. Is it that law of Moses? Is that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Law of Moses in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. And he opened here their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see that? something you're going to see now is that what Jesus did was a teaching. Now, for Jesus to teach them, Luke said he was interpreting scriptures from Genesis down to Malachi. Now, when Jesus now tells them teaching men, that means the Bible, or a Bible student, or put the local church is a place where scriptures are interpreted. So he said the local church is an interpreter's class where Bible is interpreted. Or he said a believer is taught in the local church Bible interpretation. So a believer is a Bible interpreter. So why do we interpret Bible? First, listen to me. I'm going to run this. We'll be looking at this for a while. Why do we interpret Bible? We interpret Bible because, one, the person that wrote it is not here today. It's Moses say alive. If Moses was alive, Moses would have told us in plain text what he was writing. But Moses was not around. Right? Moses lived about 8,000 years ago. About 6 to 8,000 years ago. Now, watch me. Within 6 to 8,000 years ago. Now, if Moses lived this far, do you think language of Moses' day is still the language of your day? Will it be the same? It can't be the same. The way they wrote then will not be the same as today. So therefore, I will have a job of interpreting. So the Bible has been structured for you. I said this to us. I'm saying this again. Bible was structured in such a way that you need to be taught. No one just sits down and understands Bible on his own. You need to be taught. Even Jesus Christ was taught scriptures. But he's God. Yeah, but that is the way scriptures are supposed to be explained. Jesus was taught. Luke 2, Luke 4. Luke 4:15, Luke 2:48. Jesus was taught. Hallelujah. So you need to be taught. The disciples were taught by Jesus. And the disciples taught others. Acts 2:42. Those who were God saved, 3,000 of them, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. This is that in the apostles' teaching. So scriptures, you have to be taught. Hope you're hearing me. So the role of Bible interpretation is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. Amen. You need to find out what was in Moses' mind when he was writing. And when he was ready to know what was in his mind, I have to know what was in his world. Language has changed, so I need to interpret. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. I will say something. He said, to do all this, he said, a text of scripture cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. A text of scripture cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. That is to say, if Moses is saying heaven of Moses' day must be heaven today. If I want to interpret it, if not, I'll miss it. What am I going to do? Moses' use of drink, we're going to see a lot of those things today, must be my, if I don't interpret it well. I gave us an example of a young man who said he now knows who Paul's father is. Paul. You know Paul? How many of you know Paul here? He said he knows who Paul's father is. And I said, wow, let's see. He said, in Acts 2 also, where Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. The Paul said his old man was crucified with Christ. So he now read it in his world today. You know, in your world, in our world today, who do you call old man? Who is your old man? Your father. And I said, oh, when Paul said my old man was crucified with Christ, Paul was referring to his father. His father was the thief on the cross. Would that be correct? That is wrong. Because the use of old man in your world today was not what Paul referred to as old man in his world. Hope you're following me. When Paul was writing old man, he was referring to his flesh. You see that? But if you read old man in your world today, you will think Paul was talking about his father. Hope you're following me. Amen? Hope you're following me. So that means I must be diligent in Bible study. With grace of God. So if words, listen here, if words If your explanation of words is different from how Moses used it, you have defeated the role of Bible interpretation. You see how delicate it is. Now you cannot just jump and say anything from the Bible. And then someone say, heaven help those who help themselves. And I cry my life, I show you. It's not there. Where do you get the such nonsense from? It's not in the Bible. Amen? How are you following me? Don't say what the Bible didn't say. Don't say it at all. Hallelujah. Don't say it at all. If the Bible didn't say it, then don't say it. And what the Bible has said, if you are to say it, make sure you are saying it the way the writer had it in mind. So how will I know how a word is used? A word can only find its meaning. A word does not get its meaning from dictionary. Now, that is where a lot of people miss it. They try to look for words in a dictionary. The meaning of a word, no. Dictionary does not give you the meaning of a word. Amen? What dictionary does, now, you should have done this in English. I didn't need anybody to teach me that dictionary does not give you the meaning of a word. Amen? It's lazy students that rush to dictionary and look for the meaning of a word. Dictionary, what dictionary will do is to give you a possible definition and then give you different illustration examples. Right? But it doesn't tell you the meaning of a word. The meaning of a word will find its meaning in the context of usage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine you are with your... Okay, most of us are not working now. Okay. You are with your vice chancellor in the university. And you are in a meeting with your vice chancellor. And your vice chancellor is talking about something very vital. Okay, let me not even use vice chancellor. You are talking to the president. The president of your country. And they're talking about very vital issues. Very vital issues. And you now look at the president eyeball to eyeball. Let me know this president. Who should I use? How many of you work here? You work. So let me use your work or your head teacher or your vice chancellor. Let me use that. So you are in a meeting with your boss or with your vice chancellor or with your head teacher. Or your principal, sorry. No head teacher. Okay. Principal. So you are in a meeting with your... I'm talking something very serious. This is how we're going to move this thing forward. And you now say, sir, that is your cup of tea. What will happen to you? Sack. You are in a university expert. Secondary school, your bonbon is going to see divine restoration. Amen. But you know, if you don't do it like that, like imagine somebody was walking by and just heard you say, sir, that is your cup of tea. And better put that in there like this. And now run back to, let's say, the hostel or where people have all your friends say, Emmanuel is dead. He told vice chancellor that is your cup of tea. Imagine it was your classmate that heard you from the window telling your principal, sir, that is your cup of tea. Then you wrote, The person didn't hear any conversation. They just heard, that is your cup of tea. Say, Ayo is gone. Ayo is no longer in this school. What happened? Ayo has money. He told Mr. Oke. You people will not know Mr. Oke. Mr. Oke, that is his cup of tea. She's gone. Just the other that. But you know, imagine she heard that part. But whereas what happened before she heard that part that she didn't know. Remember, she was outside. Now let's say within that place, Ayo and the vice chancellor, Mr. Oke, maybe they were having a conversation and somebody brought a cup of tea and dropped on the table. And Mr. Oke was not paying attention. I said, sir, that is your cup of tea. Did you see that? What is the context? The context is that the person that heard out of context. Did you see that? And they ran and say, hey! And you are saying, God is a cup of tea, they don't kill him. Right? But you that you are inside and you understood the context, I was pointing my hand to a cup of tea. I said, sir, that is a cup of tea. And I said, oh, thank you, Ayo. And you took this thing. And you came back. I said, Ayo, how's your bonbon? Say, what happened to my bonbon? Did they flog you? What? Did they not flog you? Say, oh, we're hearing that you told Mr. Oke
Everything he's saying is his cup of tears. I only showed him his cup of tears. I said, that is your cup of tea. You know, just like that person, that is how a lot of us do to buy it. You will not read the Bible well. You will just jump into conclusion. Amen. So you must read in context. So where will a word find its meaning? A word will find its meaning in the context of message. You cannot say because this word is like this here, it should be like this here. No! What are you telling me? You have to read the Bible well. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? You're following me. So, that said, we said a text must be allowed to interpret itself. So how will a text interpret itself? Context. You have to read it together. You read the text up, the text down. Don't just quote a verse. That's what I told us last week. Was it here I told us last week? I said Bible is not for quoting, right? Did I say it here? On Thursday. Was it here? Yes. So yes. I said the Bible is not for quoting. The Bible is not for memory verse. No! The Bible is not for, you know, some people like it. The Bible is able to quote, to back it up. Let's back it up with Bible. No! We cast in memory verse. No, Bible is not for memory verse. Bible is not for quoting. Bible is for teaching. You have to read it well. Hope you are hearing me. Hope you are hearing me. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. If I can tell you Bible is not for memory verse. See. Yes? Go and say. I know what I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. Growing up, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. And I would give my children, go and learn, come and quote 50 memory verse. So come and quote it. Come and quote 30 memory verse. So we go to so one day. I am the agent to come and quote 100 memory verse. They don't know that they are quoting it. I too, I know what they are quoting. You can't come and the people that will come and read a verse and quote something, I'll tell them, hey, you are wrong. So I don't think come and quote 100 one day. And a student can be pointing out and say, uncle, can you quote it? Can you quote 100? I said, do you see me carry Bible when you are quoting? He said, no. He said, I now to them to see that. They were counting. I quoted 100 and I continued. Guess that I did it with 150. Come on. Someone one day called me one evening. He says, what, why are you? I said, I'm at home. He said, can you start coming to yes or Shugule? Yes, Vaku. I said, why? He said, they want to share 43 inches television for who can quote scriptures more, who can quote more Bible verses. I'm not going, I want to sleep. He said, no, come on, I said, I cannot quote. He said, no, I know you can do it. I said, I'm not doing. Amen. Well, me to now tell you, the Bible is not for quoting. Believe it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Not for quoting. You miss a lot of things. Hallelujah. So we said you don't use read words like bread, water, blood in your world. You must not say bread because it's all bread. You are thinking of literal bread. No. Amen. Amen. That we will have to read it first from their world. Right? Right? I will say many a time those words like blood, bread, eat are used as what? Figure of speech. So when a problem people make is that they read figures of speech literally, and it's wrong. When something is a figure of speech, leave it as a figure of speech. Amen. But this guy is walking like an antelope. Does it mean the person is an antelope? Then say, Monday is an antelope. Is an antelope? No, he's not. Hallelujah. When you read Monday is an antelope, you have not used it well, right? Say she is cat walking. He says, she is a cat. Is that the meaning? No. Because she is cat walking is a figure of speech. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Oh, she's elephant walking. Wow. She's an elephant. No. Right? Right? Christmas also. Glory to God. So you don't use figure of speech literal. children of faith should be led that way. What you should now do is you look at what the figure of speech was trying to point to. Hallelujah. Where is somebody? Jesus is catwalking, meaning you're trying to say she's walking elegantly well. Right? Right? Glory to God. Amen. Say your hair is, you have a bushy hair. Don't say bushy hair. Does that mean his hair is a thick forest? No. Amen. You're trying to say your hair is unkempt. Right? So you look at what the figure of speech is pointing to. Tomorrow is pregnant. We don't know what it's going to give birth to. Now I say, so tomorrow has Benny. Who is the father? Then there's something wrong with your brain. Hallelujah. You have to ask yourself, what is it pointing to? Right? Hallelujah. So you look at what the figure of speech is pointing to. For example, we said the word temple last week, right? You used to look at temple? You said the word temple was Moses prefiguring what he taught them in Genesis. What did Moses teach them in Genesis? Moses said, in the beginning God created, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Did you see that? Heaven and the earth. Moses wasn't writing creation story. Moses is saying, heaven is used for God, earth is used for man. Heaven and the earth, talking about the union of God and man. Okay, follow me. We explained all this last week. So Moses is talking about heaven and earth, God and man in the same place. He said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. Now the word there is, I am light. Use that same word, ego am I. I am light. You see that? I am light. Where would the light be? Light shines in darkness. Darkness is talking about the heart of man. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So what is Moses teaching them in Genesis? Moses is teaching them in Genesis, God wants to be in man. God wants to dwell in man. Hope you're following me. God wants to have his home in man. So it's the same people, the same Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy to the same set of people. You see that it's the same set of people. So it gives them Genesis. Amen. So while he's teaching them Genesis, listen here. As he's teaching them Genesis, God said heaven and earth. What did he now do? He now said, let me show you how it's going to be like. I taught you this last week. He now built a tabernacle. Hope you're following me. Why did he build a tabernacle? Because a tabernacle in their world is where you come to meet deities. Deity where you come to meet gods. So Moses created for them, made it for them a tabernacle where they'll come and see God. So the moment they enter into the tabernacle, there's God in the holiest of all, and they stand in the outer court. They are in the same room, showing you God and man is in the same place. Hope I follow you. But that's what Moses is telling them. Heaven. So what will be the heaven? The holiest of all. Heaven and earth is in the same building. Hope I follow you. Amen. So that's what Moses was writing. Amen. So even before they made for them the tabernacle, look at Exodus 25 quickly. Again, Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Are you ready? Look at verse 8. Look at what Moses said. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now the word among them there is the original word is actually I may dwell in them. So it's not saying let them make me a sanctuary like a physical temple. It's let them make me a sanctuary. That is their heart. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in them. Look at 29. Verses 9. In essence, according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so ye make it. You say, it was God that said they should make. No, look at what he said. When you use the word pattern there, amen. When you use the word pattern there, pattern is for, when you say pattern, will imply that the tabernacle he made was not what he showed him on the mount. What Moses saw wasn't a tabernacle, physical tabernacle. Okay, what I saw is that the fan will be here. No, that was not what Moses wrote. When you use the word pattern, it means it's going to be a shadow of it. You see that? So that means the physical temple was a shadow of the real temple. What is the real temple? God in the heart of man. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the pattern will imply the tabernacle will not be the main thing he saw, but rather would be a shadow of the main thing. So when you think God was dwelling in tabernacles, you know, remember, Moses taught them, because in their world, now Moses taught them that God wants to be in man. So they were still unbelieving. That Moses would call them stiff-necked. They were unbelieving, and God said, and Moses said what? Don't worry, let me explain it to you. Build a tabernacle. So they built the tabernacle. You get me? And Moses said, God is inside this place. You will stand there to show you that heaven and earth will be in the same place. They forgot what Moses said as he's teaching them in Genesis, and they started coming to look for God inside the building. Just like the time they said Mary appeared inside this. People were killing themselves to go and look for Mary. He said, someone, Mary did not appear anywhere, he appeared inside the toilet. And people were jumping, scattering their houses to go. Well, that day they were showing super stories. When they came to tell me, no, it was years back, I was still, some of you were not born. I was still in secondary school. I guess I was still in SS1, SS1 or GS3. So people were jumping, da, da, da. I was like, no, boy. I said, no, I'm watching super stories. Because those people are doing this super story. The people were running. Ah! Mary! It didn't take up to 1 week. They say Muhammad appeared inside Gota. They continue. We are here together. Amen. Amen. Is it not yet? We are here together. Leave all those things. Hallelujah. I didn't go for 1 day. I didn't even visit. It was because of that, I didn't even visit that block. I didn't even know how we appeared. I just kept hearing, he's there. Did you see him? People are coming here to do mass. I said, continue. I'm not going. Amen. So we started reading to pray in their houses. Oh God, thank you for sending your mother. don't get stupid. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me here. Amen. So, what did they do? They left what Moses, what did Moses teach them? Your heart, right? And they were going inside the temple. Even while they were going inside the temple, God gives a disclaimer. What was the disclaimer? Look at the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. God gives a disclaimer in Hebrews 9, 8. Look at what God says. Yet the Holy Ghost, I'll start from verse 6. I want you to see, okay, let's start from verse 1 so that you understand what Moses did to them. Hebrews. Hebrews is after Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Remember. It's Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, are you there? Look up on verse 1. I want you to see this. It says, then verily, the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary. Say, for there was a tabernacle made. Now, look at what I was explaining to you just now. Right? Say, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second day, the tabernacle, which is the holiness of God. Did you see that? The holiness of God, where they believed God was. Now, he said, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overread about, with gold wherein was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. 5. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, listen, the priest went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. The only second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. He said, look at verse 8. But the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, right? The first tabernacle was standing. He said, which was a figure for the time then present. Did you see that? Was a what? Was a figure. So the tabernacle was a figure. For time then present, while the first tabernacle was a figure, but for time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice, who could not make him that did this service perfect as pertaining to the conscience? You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was that disclaimer that's what you have, God is not there. Hope you're following me. Amen. So what was that big disclaimer? Exodus 25:8, that I may dwell in them. So they were making physical tabernacle. Moses said, let them make me a sanctuary in their heart that I may dwell in them. Did you see that? But give them this one so that they will see that it's God and man. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings 8. Solomon was done building a wonderful temple. 1 Kings 8. Wonderful temple. Are you there? Okay. Verse 27. Are you there? Look at what he said. Where was I? He said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, he said, the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much more this house that I've built it? You see that? He said, the heavens cannot contain you. See, how much more is this house? So, meaning Solomon knew God is not inside that place. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 2. Hope you're following me. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 6. Follow me here now. Are you there? It says, are you there? 2 Chronicles 2, 6. It says, but who is able to build him an house? Seeing that the heavens of heavens, seeing that the heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifices before him? Did you see that? So, there is this constant disclaimer all through Bible that God was not in that brick. In Acts 7:48, what we read last week, Acts 7:48, quickly. In Acts 7, on that from verse 47. Acts.
In fact, let me give you this very simple question. That is the most important thing.
Acts 7, verse 47. Are you there? It says, but Solomon built him an house. The house big, 48. It says, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, said the prophet. Is it that? The Most High does not dwell not in temples made with hands. Okay, I'm following that. So, was God in that tabernacle?
No.
Okay, I'm following you. Where does God want to stay? Right on time. In the heart. Hope you're following me. Very vital. Okay. Let me throw you again to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 5. Oh, okay, just Isaiah 66 verse 1. Just search for Isaiah 66 1. Isaiah 66 1. Are you there? So, when he says, when Stephen said, the Most High dwelleth not with temple made with hands, he was reading two things. He was reading Solomon 1 Kings, right? Look at chapter 66, verse 1, Isaiah. He said, thus saith the Lord, the heavens is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? You see that? So, can you build him a house? No. He doesn't stay in prison. What have you learned? Did you get that? So, that means when you speak to the building of bricks and not look for God. I mean, when you step to the building to look for God, you will miss it, right? Where was God supposed to be found? God will be found among them. God will be found among them in their gathering and in them. Do you see that? God will be found in their gathering and in them. So you will not, you shouldn't be looking for God inside this. What are you following? Hallelujah. Also, we looked at the word eat. When it says eat, we say eat is used for acceptance and also used for rejection. Do you say that? When you eat and eat not, it's a rejection. Eat in their world. So if we want to show that we are friends, we will eat. Amen. So Jesus, the Pharisees saw Jesus eating in the house of one Republican. And what did they say? They say, ah, your master is eating with them. Because to eat means we are friends. I have accepted you. You see that? So when you now take that word eat, E-A-T-E, now in your world, when you say eat, they're like, ah, I have to chop something. But that is not always like that in their world. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that eats of me will never die. And you don't bring your teeth. Ah, and to eat. Eat what? You want to bite Jesus? No. Or Jesus say, drink my blood. My blood is drink indeed. I open your mouth. I want to drink. No, now. You have to look at drink and eat from his word. He used eat and drink figuratively for acceptance. Okay, follow me. So, now imagine when Moses now says the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life. And of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shouldn't eat. Genesis 3. When God gave that commandment to eat of the tree of life, and you now quickly, remember we say when a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. Now, you now say, ah, tree of life is apple. Sure, all right. How can apple be life? They say, no, Adam ate apple. How can you say Adam ate apple? Did you see apple there? No. First of all, eat is figurative, right? Tree of life, do you have any tree that gives life? No. If you have a tree that gives life, come and tell me how it is. Yeah. But there's no tree like that. There's no tree like that. Amen? Okay, follow you. So what is Moses writing about? Remember we say you allow the text to interpret itself. Hallelujah. Allow Bible to interpret itself. So when you say eat of the tree of life, and not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's investigate what that means. Right? Hallelujah. Let's see what it's referring to. In Deuteronomy, Moses taught them in Deuteronomy. Genesis, remember I said you must read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy together. Because Moses was writing it together to the same thing. Okay, let's rush down to Deuteronomy. Take note. So some of you who say, look up here, in the whole full garden, there were just two trees. And I said, no, there were not two trees, there were plenty trees. Because you don't even know. What is garden? You think if you is in the garden, a little fine boy, can I come and see you? No. Mommy in the garden playing, boy. Oh, no, which one is that? Mommy in the kitchen cooking, in the parlor, what? Children in the garden playing. Think about what they are doing in Genesis. What are they doing in Genesis? Hallelujah. That's not what they were doing in Genesis. Hallelujah. Amen. See, they have only two trees inside the whole of... Come on now. Stop being stupid. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. Remember, I taught you, when you hear garden, don't read garden in as garden in your world. Right? Garden is used for God's sacred place. Now, the Garden of Eden was referring to what God's presence. Amen. But let's leave that. That's not what we're looking at today. Hallelujah. No, look at something. Now, let's see how Moses taught it. Right? But take note, first of all, what did God set before Adam? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life. Right? Do I agree that? Now, he said that to Adam, but I dare say, the same way God has set these two trees to Adam, the same way God has set these two trees to every man, including yourself. You don't know? God has set before you two trees
the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So ask us, which one have you chosen? We don't know. Those people don't know. The same way, you see, remember, if God has set it before Adam, God has set it before all men also.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's see something. Let's see what the trees are. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Remember, he said God said it before Adam, right? And Moses was writing the children of Israel. And I said, it has been said before all men. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 26. Okay, are you there? It says, behold, 26 into 28. Let's sit together. Want to go? Behold, I said before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Did you see that? So what did he set before them? So, blessing and curse. Showing you that the trees will be blessing and curse. Hallelujah. And how did Moses now use blessing and cursing? He now used it as what? Faith in God's commandment. So it's a blessing if you keep God's commandment. Did you see that? That is faith in God's commandment. Did you see that? Faith in God's word. Hallelujah. This is Moses teaching from Genesis 3. Moses is teaching Genesis 3. And he says it is blessing and curse. Look at Deuteronomy 30. He repeats it again. So, how many trees were set before Adam? How many were set before the children of Israel?
Was it trees?
Gonna see. Amen. Deuteronomy 30. He says, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, that the blessing and the curse, this is that which I've set before thee. This is that, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations whether the Lord thy God had driven thee. This is that, he calls it blessing and curse. Look at verse 15. We're going to read 15 together. Are you in verse 15? Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Are you there? Hallelujah. That is one to go. See, I set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Is that Genesis 3? Is that Genesis 3? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is that Genesis 3? Is that Genesis 3? Amen? Amen? Can you see? Can you see? Moses is saying the blessing and the cursing is life and good, death and evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verses 19. Look at verses 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and curses. This is that life and death. Tree of, can we put it like this? Tree of life and the tree of death. Is that it? Tree there will be figurative. This is that? And that says blessing and cursing. Is that the same? Yeah. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Stop here and go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10. Let's sit from verse 10. That's what he's talking about. He says, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandment and his statutes, which was written in the book of the law, and if thou shalt turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command you this day is not hidden from thee. Neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us, and who shall bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea, but to bring it to us, and to bring it, and then to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. For the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Did you see this? He now says, I said before thee. Let's see what Paul will say concerning this. In Romans 10, Paul now explains this thing, this life and death. He now explains the tree of life and the tree of death. Amen. Amen. I hope you are following me. How many of you understand what I'm teaching you this afternoon? Hallelujah. Do you understand it? Do you get this? Hallelujah. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Quickly, run to Romans 10. Put your hands in that Deuteronomy 28 and go to Romans 10. Let's read together. Put your hands in Deuteronomy 28 and rush to Romans 10. Are you there? Okay, are you there? Romans 10. Are you there, Romans 10? You get to go. Help him out. Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, are you there? Okay. Let's start from verses 5. For Moses, make sure you are there. I'll read 5, you read 6. I'll read 7, you read 8. Right? Amen. No, I'll read 5, you read 6. I'll read 7 and we'll all read 8 together. I'll read 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth these things shall live by them. Let's go 6. Stop. Go to that Deuteronomy. Put your hands there. Go back to that Deuteronomy. Is that what you find there? Deuteronomy. Look at verse 10. That's verse 10. Now look at verse 12. It's not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go into for us and bring it to us. Is that right? Are you seeing it? Go back to Romans. What did Moses call? What did Paul call it? That is to bring Jesus from above. Did you see that? To bring Christ from above. He said, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. If you go there, it's the same thing. Say, let's read 8. You can read 8. The word of faith which we preach. Open to Deuteronomy. Verse 14. He said, but the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That thou mayest do it. Is that, now, that thou mayest do it, is that the word of faith? Is that the word of faith? Hope you are seeing that. So, Moses now said, life and death. Did you see that? Right? That's the life, I said before, the life and death, and life and good, evil. Do you understand me? Then I said, choose life. Now, Moses, what Paul now did was, because Paul was writing to believers, he's not going to say believers should choose life. No, 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 no. What did he now do? He knows that we're writing to believers, the church. Right? So he will take away the tree of death. And now write in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That thou shalt be saved, is that the tree of life? So Moses, Paul will now narrow it on the tree of life. Did you see that? So that means, what Moses was set before Adam and Eve was not fruit. What was set before them is the gospel. To believe or not to believe. Did you see that? So, listen, thou shalt be saved. So, what does God now call the man that believes? In John 3:16, we all quote it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believe in him, but should have what? Life. Did you see that? Should have what? Life. Your mind will go back to the tree of life. Paul calls it saved. Life. John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Did you see that? And have it more abundantly. So it is not just said before Adam and Eve, it is said before all men. These two trees. Amen. So when you are thinking whether it's Adalimo or apple, no, it is the gospel. Hope you're following me. Amen. So that means when God spoke to Adam, Moses would not prefigure what God said as trees. But when God spoke to Adam, there was no physical tree. Moses prefigured the gospel as tree. Hope you're following me.
Hallelujah.
Something we're going to see shortly as we get into our teaching. We're getting close to our teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, Adam and Eve, eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is actually rejection of the gospel. And what was the end product? The end product, just like Jesus will say, he says, shall not, his ever being should not perish. Eh? What happened to Adam and Eve? Because they ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is a rejection to the gospel. What happened to them? They were away from God's garden. Away from God's presence. Hope you're following me. God took them out of the garden. The same thing should have happened to Cain. God told, look at Cain. Quickly. A lot of people miss this in their reading because they don't read well. Amen. Look at Cain. Genesis chapter 4. Let's get to Cain. Verse 14. Genesis 4:14. I want to show you something fast. We're about to round up. Amen. Did I say that? No, we are not yet about to round up. Genesis 4:14. Amen. Hope you're following me. Hope you're getting what I'm teaching you. Genesis 4:14. I say, what did Cain say to God? Thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth. Now, let me say, God, when he said on the face of the earth, does that mean God now chased him out of the earth? Where would he now go, to Pluto? Or Mars? No, now. What did he call the place of the earth? The face of the earth. Read the next thing. And from thy face shall I be hid. For I am a fugitive and a vagabond in the east. But what is away from the east? From, you are chasing away from the earth. No, you are still in the earth. But you are saying, out of the earth with me, away from the garden. Amen. Away from his seat. Away from his presence. His prosper. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. His presence. Hope you are with me. Amen. So, what did Cain do? Cain sinned. And that sin too, the same thing that happened to Adam happened to him. Away from God's garden. Away from God's presence. Hope you are following me. Literally, you didn't see a garden, Cain and Abel, coming into a garden like Adam and Eve, no. The same thing was what Moses now prefigured. That garden was now called the face of God. Away from thy face. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will look, we'll explore this further next week and into the air. Hallelujah. Amen. So, before you think, so what does that now mean? Sir, are you sure it's talking about gospel here? I know the talent tree. Because you miss it, Moses now said there was a serpent. Did you see that? Moses now said there was a what? Serpent in Genesis 3. There was a serpent that spoke to Eve. What does serpent mean? Serpent means subtlety. Serpent was used for the devil. See that? The devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The serpent will mean false teaching. I'm sure not that. Right? Serpent is false teaching. 2 Corinthians quickly. Chapter 11. Verse 3. Say, for I fear least by enemy as the serpent began he to the subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted for the simplicity that was in Christ. So what Paul is saying, that what happened to Adam and Eve as the trees was actually the gospel. He said, as serpents beguile Eve. Say, I'm scared. I'm afraid for you. That serpents beguile Eve. So, your heart too should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That means, what was passed across to Adam and Eve was the message of the gospel. and the serpent will obey the devil in what? False teaching. So that means anywhere you see false teaching, you'll find the devil in it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anywhere you find false teaching, you find the devil is at the back of it. The devil is at the back of false teaching. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, that's it. We are looking at contending for the faith. Why are we looking at all this? Verify that. We get to see. Contending for the faith. So when you hear faith here, it's talking about contending for the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin to explore that from next week. But we're still looking at a few things. But when you use the word contend, it's also used for fight. Like the way you fight. Right? The same way too. What is fight? What is fight? When you hear fight? If you now go and use fight literally and think God was the one responsible for genocide, you are going to be missing it. Someone said, are you trying to tell me that God is not responsible for what is happening between Russia and Ukraine? I said, how can you say God was responsible? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, when you hear fight, and you look into the Old Testament book, it was used, it's used in the Old Testament books 103 times. Whereas, you have it 12 times in the New Testament books. Same with the word war. War was used 109 times in the Old Testament books. I used 16 times in the New Testament books. Yes, I will have to learn how to use them well. The same way we've seen three. You have to read it well. Hallelujah. Use them well. And to use them well, have to use them the way the apostles used them. What are following me? I must use them the way the apostles used them. For example, the use of sword. The use of sword. Some people think, how did Jesus use the word sword? I say, I used to remember, everybody should arm themselves. So even Jesus Christ told the disciples to go and buy sword. I've heard that. How many of you have heard that? Jesus told the disciples to buy sword. You're going to take my and buy sword, they are coming. No. How did Jesus use sword? Look at Luke 22. I'm trying to shorten my notes for tonight. Today. Luke 22. But good I ran it up well. Luke 22, are you there? Amen. Amen. Look at verse 36. Luke 22, 36. On top of verse 34. No, verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And he said to him, and they said nothing. But he said unto them, but now, he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. They didn't understand what he was saying. They felt Jesus was saying they should go and buy sword. Right? But look at what I say. For I say unto you, that this that is written must ye accomplish in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. Do you see that? He was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. See, he was reckoned among the transgressors. That is what I say. It is the transgressors. Jesus was not referring to them to go and buy sword. He was talking about the transgressors. He said they would have swords. Okay, but they felt Jesus was saying to have swords. And look at their response in verse 38. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. Huh? You know, when you think you are teaching. So you answer very funny question. We are this time, Lord. Restore again the kingdom to me. They know you're just tired. 40 days. Teaching about the kingdom of God. I said, sir. You will hear what you are saying. The kingdom of Israel will give us again. Again. Jesus explained to them that the person who was referring to was the transgressor. The people that will come against him. He said they will sell their garments to buy swords and come after him. Did you see that? They now said, sir, we have two swords. They didn't get it. And what did he say? He said, no. That's what he said. You know. The way he said it, he said, no. He just like, I don't hear. Don't hear. Like he was. All these things I'm telling you, you need to get it. Amen. So he says, you know. So Jesus didn't use sword for come and use it to protect yourself. Or use it and follow me with sword. No!
Amen.
Amen. Jesus wasn't telling them to buy swords. No, it wasn't. He wasn't. In fact, when Peter went to bear, what is bear? Bear is the Greek word for overdo. Amen? When Peter went to bear, and I used the sword and cut off the ears of Marcus. What about this Marcus there? Marcus. Cut off the ear of Marcus. What did Jesus do? He picked this ear and put back and said, he that lives by the sword, do what? Die by it. Did you see that? Very vital. So the makes you know that Jesus wasn't engaged in any physical warfare.
Hallelujah. Amen. Rather, when you go back to Matthew 10, he now spoke about sword. He says, I have not come to give peace.
But I've come to set man against, I've come with a sword to set man against his father. Children are mine, you are thinking, hey, Jesus has come to cause war. No. He says, what does he explain it to be? Love. Say, he that loves father and mother. Can I explain? He's a sword. Say, he that loves father and mother above me is not fit for me.
Is it that?
So, that the Jesus used sword to show preference. Hallelujah. He must have preference. I mean, you must prefer God's word above natural things.
And it's something that in our world today, we need to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Garuba. They're in the third heaven, and I'm teaching.
Amen. Amen. So, that's not about sword.
The same way it took for enemy. In Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, love your enemies. You've heard that Jesus said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Say, I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for them who persecute you. Hate and persecute you. Now, Jesus used the word to love your enemies. Hallelujah. And when he used the word love your enemies, he was referring to human enemies, not the devil. He said you love human people that hate you. You see that? Human opposition. He said love them. Hallelujah. Yes! He referred to the enemy called the devil and said you don't love that one. Hallelujah. In Matthew 13:25-28. You shouldn't love that one. That is the enemy called the devil. You don't love the enemy called the devil. In Luke 10:19, you don't love the enemy called the devil. He calls him the adversary, the enemy. Luke 10:19. You don't love him. So Jesus made you see that you love your human enemies, people who hate you. So you love them. Amen. Hallelujah. But the devil, you shouldn't love. Hope you are saying that. So Jesus shows us two kinds of enemies. The one who you call human enemy, say no, you love them. The devil don't. What about the enemy?
Amen.
Amen. The same thing too. Paul will not pick it in Romans. Please just get this down. Let's round up. Romans 12:20. We'll still look at it next week. I was referring to human enemies. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the devil. So let's look at the word fight. In the Old Testament, they had physical fights. Physical fights. Yet, Jesus and the apostles used fights differently. They were not in any horse, carrying arrows and spears and daggers to fight. No. Amen. Yet, they used it differently. In John 18:36, look at what Jesus said. Jesus used the word fight. John 18:36.
And Jesus answered, my kingdom
is not of this world. It's God. Hallelujah. John 8:36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus was speaking to the chief priest. He says, Pilate rather.
He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, he said, then would my servants fight. Did you see that? That I may not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. He used the word kingdom. Kingdom. My kingdom is not from here. Hallelujah. So Jesus says his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. When he says my kingdom is not of this world, meaning it is a spiritual kingdom. So when he says my kingdom is not from here, like I said, it's a spiritual kingdom. And when you use the word kingdom, kingdom will mean there will be a kingdom war. Hallelujah. So that means the kingdom fight is not a physical fight. Amen. Amen. So when he says, when Jesus makes that affirmation that there is a spiritual kingdom where he belongs to, that means the fight will not be a physical fight, but it was a spiritual fight. Right?
Right? It's a spiritual fight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if it's a spiritual fight, you don't need physical elements to fight a spiritual fight.
You don't need physical elements to fight a physical fight. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, Paul said there are weapons of our warfare. He said they are not carnal. You see that? They are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Hallelujah. They are not carnal. That means they are not physical. They are not of this world. They are not, it doesn't require human elements. Someone said, I want to fight spiritual battle and I'm body candle. Are you normal? Body candle, you say, candle used to chase devils. How can physical candle and smoke chase demons? It's as if you are having mental challenges. Can you say that? Can do.
So say, look, they fleet. The fleet is demons who run away. Think demons are mosquitoes.
Amen. Amen. Don't be deceived. In fact, if I told someone once that I said, listen, if you keep doing that, this nonsense, it's better if you just go to school, go back to your school, tell them that they should please give you back all your school fees, so that you don't want having a WAEC certificate. You don't even want having a first lady school certificate. What nonsense is that? They are burning candles to chase people's spirits. They are flying them. No, don't be stupid. Hallelujah. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 10, 4, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and they are not man-made. You can make it with people of sleep, ethanol, mixed with water. Or if you become ethanol mixed with water, it also spirit. You think it will change spirit. Don't be silly. Even if it is art, at least use your brain. Sorry for those who read art.
Amen. Amen. Sorry for those who read that. I don't mean it. Sorry. Sorry. God knows my heart. But this is a brain now. Because why I say art? Because in my days, they believe those who read art are not the smartest. It's the science. Well, I'm not science too. Hallelujah. But I'm smarter than science people. Amen.
A lot of them. Let me not go into that today. No, yeah. Amen. So you can say brain. Say you are burning incense. You are using shetos. You want to kill who? No. Say when you spray in the night and sleep, no demon will come near your roof. Interesting. He's giving you that super story. No, there's this soap. When you take your bath with it, evil will not come near you. Ah! They are judgy. What problem is that? Soap. Soap. Come on, make soap for you. Give me the contract. if soap is your problem, don't worry, I'll make a bath. You'll be soaking yourself in that soap and coming out. Soap is your problem. Amen. Amen. Remember one day someone traveled, and when he was traveling, they didn't give the person perfume. A person sprayed the perfume, will not have accident. Hey! And no one has it, the perfume that broke inside the box. Don't be stupid.
You like, spray 1 million perfume. She drives recklessly, you have accident recklessly. Amen. Amen.
Don't be stupid. So Paul said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, are mighty in God. Did that? Said to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination, bringing those foundations and hiding and exalting step above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of this world. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. They are not carnal. So, the right warfare are not physical battles. What are you following me? Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Verses 12. Ephesians 6, 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Is that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is man. That is physical enemy, right? But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Whole armor of God. Not armor of candles. Black, blue, blue, black. No. Hallelujah. Armor of God. That ye may be able to withstand. So, hallelujah. Amen. So our weapons are not carnal. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So our battle, so the fight is spiritual. 1 Timothy 6:12. Look at what Paul said again. 1 Timothy 6:12. We'll pick up all this next week. 1 Timothy 6:12. It says here. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Say, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight. So it's called a good fight. Hallelujah. A good fight is when you fight the right kind of fight. Spiritual. You fight a good fight and it's a fight of faith. For all is the fight of faith. Glory to God. The fight of faith. Glory to God. Fight of faith. You can put here the fight against oppositions to your faith. There's a fight. You fight. I want a physical fight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Look at what Paul said. No, I mean 2 Timothy 4, 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. What about for you, baby? Glory to God. Hallelujah. James said you fight your desires. So it's a fight against human desires. James 4 verses 1 into 2. James 4. It says, from whence come wars and fighting among you? It says, come then not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Say, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he says, well, one of the things we fight is our desires. The human desires. We engage war against the human desires. Hallelujah. We engage war over opposition to the believer's faith. And Paul will say, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Look at Jeremy. That means, in the eating of the truth, we're going to contend for our faith. And beyond. 23 and beyond. We're going to contend more for our faith. Okay, Jeremy. We're contending more! And you have to see the fight the way you want to fight. The believer is to fight everything. Hope you're hearing me. The believer is to fight everything. The believer is to fight! Fight everything. Is that? So you fight. Hallelujah. But you don't fight like men fight. You fight the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul says,
Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. We're going to see that. We're taking up, we'll round up here a bit, and then we'll pick it up again ourselves. The whole armor of God. Already in fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But taking up our responsibility in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a fight. There's a fight.
So if the fight is not physical but spiritual, can we say in the Old Testament books all those fights that they were fighting?
I would say they were fighting the wrong fight. They were fighting the wrong fight. Hallelujah. When you wanted to take down the Amorites, they said, no, that's the wrong fight. Hallelujah. The wrong fight. Because the right fight, not a physical fight. Hallelujah. Not a physical fight. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not a physical fight.
No, it's not. It's not a physical fight. So they fought the wrong fight. But yet, their fight, their physical fight was a pointer for us. Hallelujah. It's a pointer for us today on how we should fight. On the right kind of fight. Today, Goliath will not be Goliath in our world. Goliath will have his implications. Hallelujah. Goliath will not be a physical person. No. Rather, Goliath will be what?
For the things. Goliath will be devices of the devil. Goliath will be men who stand in the position of God's word. How will that fight? So we're going to go back and look. How many of you call against Goliath? That is how we should fight. Also. Hallelujah. Because we will not see a physical Goliath beat, but we will see Goliath everywhere. Hallelujah. You will not see a physical Amorite coming against you in their armies, but you will see a physical Amorite every day in the social media. You will see it. Hallelujah. You will see it. You will not see a physical Syria. You will not see the Moabites. But you know what? You see it every day. You see it every day. And that is why we should contend for the things. Hallelujah. I stay fighting. I stay fighting. Hallelujah. I learned the right kind of fight. And I stay fighting. You must see it. Hallelujah. You must see it. There's the right kind of fight.
I fight every day. So I fight every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you learned something? Share with someone what you've learned. Share with someone what you've learned.
Someone